after infidelity and betrayal, you don't just question your partner, you question the entire past. You look at old photos and think, was that real? Was this real? You remember the anniversary trip, the late night conversations, the inside jokes, the times they held you, the times that you felt close, and suddenly those memories don't even feel real anymore. It's like they're fuzzy, or they alternate back and forth between feeling comforting and feeling threatening. They kind of feel contaminated. It's like it throws so much of not just what happened here, but everything in the past into suspicion now. And you grieve the whole thing, not just what happened, but what you had. You're grieving who you thought that they were, that you no longer can believe in. You're grieving some version of yourself that was able to love them without fear. And it is extremely emotionally dizzying. It's not just sadness or anger or heartbreak. It's the feeling of reality collapse. You can wake up every day with a different version of reality in your head. One day you think, maybe they really did love me. Maybe we can make this work. The next day, it's like, no, the whole thing was fake. The next day, back to, how could I have missed this? Was I stupid? Was I blind? Was I the only one who actually thought that any of this was real? Was I foolish for ever being sincere? But I want to be really clear that you were not foolish for trusting someone that you had reason to trust. It wasn't infallible reasons, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't have happened, but you did have reason to trust them, mainly their words and societal expectations and what marriage and serious relationships are supposed to be. Like, all of that is background knowledge that gives you some good reason to trust. You're not stupid for loving someone who's supposed to be your safety and your rock. You're not wrong for experiencing those memories as both real and as confusing now and contaminated. And there is something real, in my opinion, to how you remember those experiences in the positive light, even if their choices now do require a reinterpretation of the story as a whole. I don't think that you have to throw out everything that was good. Let's talk about what's actually going on here. You got new information that is contradicting years of what you believed was true. Your brain had a story, said, this is my person, this is our relationship, these memories are clear in my mind, we were building something together. And then the betrayal is like this bomb that's just dropped right into the middle, and it blows everything up because it doesn't fit. So now your brain's trying to redo the whole timeline. It starts scanning backwards. Now, was that night real? Was that compliment real? Was that trip sincere? Were they thinking about the other person then? Were they lying when they said they loved me? Was I living in a relationship while they were living in a completely different reality? This is why people can end up obsessed about the past after betrayal, because it feels like it needs to reprocess everything. And that is necessary, but oftentimes we go about it in very self-harming ways where we're almost hunting for information that will just hurt us more. But it is necessary to rethink everything through. And for better or for worse, it is often more complex than just boiling it down to, well, then the entire thing was a lie and all of my experiences of it were false. For example, sometimes the person who cheated was vastly compartmentalizing. They were in a very dissociative state. Yes, they knew what they were doing, but they cut off that part of their life for whatever reason from what they were doing the rest of the time. To give a somewhat strange analogy, there are sometimes people who have a certain sexual orientation that is not accepted at all within a certain religious community. And yet, they still are practicing members of that religious community. What is going on there? The term we often use is cognitive dissonance. There is some type of disconnect between one idea that they're holding and another idea. So before you experienced a split and rupture in your reality, they experienced one internally. They were compartmentalizing. They were living in cognitive dissonance. That is the most common thing that has to happen, at least at some stage, for them to be able to engage in anything longer than a one-night affair. So when you go to the question, were there moments when they were loving, present, affectionate, and sincere? The answer might be yes. And then if you ask the question, were there moments when they were lying, hiding, escaping, and denying you the love that you needed? Was that true? Yes, the answer could be yes to both of those. That doesn't excuse what they did, but I think that when we get into this mode of thinking of, I need to re-understand what happened in the past, we start to get really black and white with it when the unfaithful partner's reality was often extremely gray. That's not to excuse what they did, obviously, But I think that can be some of the mismatch between trying to understand what happened and the data not seeming to make sense. It's because you need to view the data of those experiences through multiple lenses at once. That's why it's possible for it to both be true that this person deeply hurt me and the relationship had real moments. It's why it can be true at the same time that the relationship was built on some level of deception, but that not everything was fake. Those contradictions can create an emotional whiplash if you don't have the intellectual perspective that they were going through cognitive dissonance. And that's ultimately how you can start to heal from this. You have to stop forcing yourself into these extreme conclusions where it says it was all real or it was all fake. Things could be both real and fake, and you could still choose to leave, for example. I think sometimes we get tied up in thinking, well, if I say that it was a mixture, if I say that it was both good and bad, then that means that I have to stay, or that means that I have to leave. You can do whatever you want with the information, but you have to see it clearly first. The black and white thinking is understandable as a reaction, but that's usually coming from like this very gut level reaction place and not from actual reasonable trying to understand the situation place. A more honest assessment might be some things were real and some things were hidden, or my experience was real even if I didn't have the whole story, or there was something real but they chose to break it. And I think acknowledging that it was real up until a point, and you don't know exactly when that point was, but then it started to fade, is important, because saying none of it was real ever, that's just a way for you to blame yourself. It makes you feel like your love was meaningless, like your memories were stupid, like your tenderness was wasted. And it might have been wasted after a certain point, but up to a certain point, I doubt that was the case. Saying something real was broken lets you acknowledge both sides. There was something real and it was damaged. The second thing that I think is really important is to ground yourself in your own experience. When these memories pop up and you're wanting to reanalyze them, that's completely valid. But I think it's also important for you to say that your experience of that was real too. Just because from their perspective they were living a double life doesn't mean for you that your joy was not your joy, or that your love was not your love. Those were still real. That vulnerability that you showed and that you put forward was still real. And you were assuming that they were meeting you halfway, but that doesn't mean that your half of the bridge suddenly disappeared. Another important thing to do on this healing journey is to think about the idea of containment. Your brain can go wild, and you have a lot of memories that you can re-examine. So you need to have the time to process it, yes, but you also need the time to not be processing it. So if you create a habit of times, places, occasions, settings, when you do process this and think about it actively, that gives you permission to have times when you are able to push it out of your mind without scaring your body that you're never going to process it. So what this can look like is setting aside 20 minutes to journal about the timeline once a week until you're sick of it, until you're tired of it, until you don't have any more questions. And then if you're starting to spiral thinking about this at work, reminding yourself, no, I can go back to this and journal about it during my set-aside time, can be really helpful. And if there's a specific thought that gets stuck in your head, you can always write just that one thought down, whether in a note app, on a piece of paper that you stick in your pocket, because it's just reassuring to yourself that, no, I'm going to take care of this, just not right now. And when we get something out of our head onto paper, it gives our short-term memory the freedom to say, okay, I don't have to carry the weight of constantly reminding him of this or her of this, because they've got it taken care of. It's on the to-do list. The goal is not to suppress the thoughts at all. The goal is to convince your body that you're going to address it at the proper time and place. Then another really important thing you can do is timeline rebuilding. And this is something that you can do with a cooperative partner, but I honestly think it's more helpful to do on your own. Start creating what you perceive right now, based on your current understanding, a full and honest timeline of events. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the confusing. Include all of it in the story and let it be your telling of it as you understand it right now. You can update it later if they choose to give you more information. But right now, just take full ownership and get a complete story on paper. Not the fantasy version where everything was perfect, not the trauma version where everything was fake, but the integrated version. The one that says, here were the beautiful moments. Here are the signs I didn't see at the time. Here are things that I genuinely felt and that I know are real, that even if they weren't appreciated, I understand the value that I brought. Here are the things I now know that were hidden at the time. Here's what belonged to me. Here's what belonged to them. This type of timeline helps your brain stabilize because the trauma is often like fragmenting the story out in all these different branches, giving it even a placeholder of sorts. Even if you're not 100% sure of all the details, giving something gives some stability. And then another huge piece of advice is to anchor this story within a bigger story. This is where the work that I do touches up against spiritual work. Everybody carries some type of spiritual story of how they make sense of their place within their country, within the planet, within the spiritual realm, in their relationship to God, the relationship to their faith, whatever it may be. Because we need some type of story we believe in to operate. It's just the way our brains are wired. We're storytelling creatures. It's like the one thing that we've always done for as long as we've been able to talk. We've told stories. And so if your personal story is really confusing, find a little bit of extra comfort in that bigger story. And also, please remember this, just because you feel like your past has collapsed doesn't mean that your future has to be in disarray as well. You can rebuild a relationship with them, with someone else, with a different community of people, or just with yourself that is rooted in truth and transparency and honesty. You can learn to trust your memories without needing them to be perfect. You can start seeing yourself as someone who loved honestly with the information you had, not as someone who was just duped or fooled. And then eventually this becomes one chapter of a bigger story. This becomes one of the low parts that leads to growth. It doesn't become the book title for the rest of your life.